Why is receiving so hard when giving is easy? Why do we get caught in the world as overgivers and underreceivers? As Carol said, we all go through tough times, and sometimes we can't solve problems by ourselves. It's courageous to recognize and ask for help if you need it for any sort of problem. This is so true to me, but it can be hard to ask for help. I know from personal experience, like Carol, that it can be really hard to break from that giving mode and actually accept and appreciate help when you need it. About 20 years ago, I was at a personal low point. I tried to do it all, and I gave and I gave, and I worked 70 hours a week in Chicago, and then I traveled around the country and around the world, and I had a sick mom in Wisconsin, for whom I was the responsible daughter, and my former husband was going through severe clinical depression at the time. Can I just say that my life wasn't really working? Then I remember a friend once told me years earlier, "Why do you have to be Superwoman? Why must you do everything?" And I didn't have a good answer for that at the time when he asked it of me, and still couldn't answer that question at this low point in my life. But it made me think, why did I have to do everything? What was I proving? At that time, I was tired and frustrated and angry with my lot at life. I could manage all kinds of things, but why couldn't I manage this situation? Finally, the light dawned, and that moment of introspection was upon me. It was that moment when I realized that if everything was happening to me, perhaps I was the problem, and that I was the one who needed to change. I started thinking about what would it take to make my life easier? How could I ask for help and allow myself to receive it without anger? I took a long, hard look inside myself and realized I needed to change. I needed to ask for help and find it, consistent and more help for my mother, and maybe I was the one who needed to pay for it since it was my time that I was freeing up. I looked at other places where I needed help in my life, including work, and talked to my boss and began receiving the help I needed when she understood what my situation was. And when I reached out to my friends, they asked me, "Why did it take you so long to ask for help? But why did I have to reach my emotional breaking point before asking for what I needed? Why did I let my emotional tank just run to empty? Why did it take me so long to receive and accept love and kindness from my friends and work colleagues?" John Amadio, a psychologist, has explored this issue in a blog post. He writes, "Many of us grew up believing that it is more noble to give than to receive, recognizing others' needs, honoring their feelings, being responsive to the less fortunate, safeguards us from the unbridled narcissism that runs wild today." He goes on to say, "Yet there are hidden downsides to prioritizing giving over receiving, and I'm referring to interpersonal relating. Is it difficult for you to receive love, caring, and compliments? Do you silently squirm inside when someone offers a kind word or a present? Or do you allow yourself to deeply receive the gift of kindness, caring, and connection?" Amadio offered 5 possibilities for why receiving is often more difficult than giving. His first point about why it is difficult to receive is defense against intimacy. Let me restate what Amadio says about intimacy. By this, he means receiving creates connection to the other person giving you something. If we prioritize giving, it is a method for us to keep other people at arm's length from us. It allows us to protect our hearts. But receiving changes that dynamic and creates an intimate connection that allows the other person into our life. And maybe we're afraid of that. Amadio's next point about receiving is letting go of control. This is my personal favorite. I certainly have had this issue. Has anyone else? You're laughing. Perhaps when you think about it, giving is some form of control. Paraphrasing Amadio again, you get to set the relationship when you give. When you're on the receiving end, we need to allow ourselves to surrender to the kind word or offer of something. We are vulnerable at that moment. Do we have an issue with showing our vulnerability? Does it change our self-image of being able to manage our life, being in control? Well, I certainly had that one. Amadio's third point is fear of strings attached. Let me explore this point with you. Fear of strings attached takes us back to our childhood. Perhaps we had the type of parents who only gave us compliments when we accomplished something like good grades or excelling at sports. We sensed that we were not being recognized for who we are, but rather for what we did or what we accomplished. It may make us feel like we are being used as children and never recognized and accepted for who we are. I have to admit, I had a little bit of this one too. Now we move to Amadio's fourth point. We believe it's selfish to receive. Amadio's point here is that perhaps the religion in which we were raised may have taught us that it is selfish to receive. Life is about suffering than being happy. Our religion may have taught us not to bring attention to ourselves. Be self-effacing. If this is how we were brought up, it is easy to see how we may feel shame when we receive. I'm glad that our faith does not support this idea. And his last point is a self-imposed pressure to reciprocate. What is a self-imposed pressure to reciprocate? It's a way to protect ourselves from being in someone's debt. We may be suspicious of someone's motives when they give us something. We may make the presumption that compliments or gifts are attempts at control or manipulation. So what do? We preemptively defend ourselves from any obligation or any indebtedness by simply not receiving gifts or any help at all. Perhaps one or more of these reasons for having a hard time receiving, fear of intimacy, loss of control, fear of strings attached, it's selfish, or self-imposed pressure to reciprocate is at the heart of why we have difficulties in receiving. For me, it certainly was giving up what I thought was control. Allowing others into these vulnerable moments in our lives does not mean giving up control. Because I found out the less control we exert over our lives, the more that life comes in and the easier life is. Our emotional tank starts filling up again as soon as we receive. It's not only our emotional tank that is filled with receiving, but our spiritual tank as well. There is a spiritual nature to receiving. For some of us, based on these past religious experiences, as Amadio pointed out, may place a high value on giving, but what about the spiritual side of receiving? Is so often ignored. How can giving be such a garden of love, but the discussion of receiving in religion be barren like a desert? As some of you might know, on my spiritual side of my life, which came to me in that 20 years ago when all was crap in my life, I was looking around for some spiritual help too, and I discovered the native earth honoring Peruvian practices. And one of the guiding principles of that is something called Aini in the Quechua language, which is translated to sacred reciprocity. It shows our interconnectedness to nature and all things and all people. Keeping the energetic flow of giving and receiving in balance, sacred reciprocity. As an example, when we take from the earth in terms of food, we give back in the Peruvian way, despachos or food for gods. I made a despacho with members of the congregation a few years ago in summer, and Aini, or that sacred reciprocity, applies to every aspect of your life. The idea is to maintain balance and energy flows. On the relationship or community side, it is about sharing from knowledge to listening to helping out. This concept of Aini helps guide me now when I'm feeling out of balance. Since I'm a natural giver, I have learned not to overdo and get out of my busyness rut. It also allows me to look at my energy flows and my emotional and spiritual balances. What do I need to refill my emotional and spiritual tanks? This summer, as some of you might know, my husband, Mike, was quite ill, and he was in a hospital a couple of times. He knew when he was in the hospital that I would come after lunch, so I had the time to take care of myself. I learned from 20 years ago that I needed to refill my spiritual and emotional tanks. So in the mornings, I would either talk to friends and get the help I needed from them, hang out in the garden or yard puttering, meditate at my mesa, which is my altar in my house, or just stare into space with a cup of tea. Creating that balance between giving and receiving and accepted loving and kindness refilled my spiritual and emotional tanks before I went in to face whatever was going to happen at the hospital that day. So let us allow our giving to flow into our receiving. Receive with loving kindness and an open heart. Authentic receiving allows us to place a greater focus on the other than on self. If this is hard for you, start with the small steps of receiving smiles. Let someone open up the door for you. Compliments, hugs, all the little things in life that make it so pleasurable. It will be easier to ask for help when you need it. If you already do that, perhaps you want to take a deeper dive into exploring those psychological issues of Amadio's five reasons and see if any apply to you. Each little step allows our emotional and spiritual selves to be refilled, to build back up. It allows us to understand the gift that receiving can be to us. Sacred receiving, as Amadio says, allows letting things in with heartfelt gratitude and as a gift to the giver. Let me repeat that. Sacred receiving, letting things in with heartfelt gratitude, is a gift to the giver. When we are visibly moved, it conveys to the giver that they've made a difference in our lives. We may then bask together in a non-dual moment in which there is no distinction between the giver and the receiver. Both people are giving and receiving in their own unique ways. The shared experience can be profoundly sacred and intimate, a moment of delectable grace. Blessed be.